Genesis 15.
Hear, O Lord Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love thy Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside, and serve other gods, and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not of fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Let's start over there somewhere. Read Genesis 15. I know you've done this before, but 15, we're going to read the whole. Well, just read through 17.
Shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Now, remember, Harry wasn't here, and I just want you all to remember that the phrase, the word of the Lord, happens. All the word of the Lord is not words about the word. It's the word, the essence, Jesus, the word of the Lord. This is the only time in the book of Exodus, I mean the book of Genesis, this verses 1 and 4 right here, when that phrase is used. And the rest of the Bible is used 239 times. But it's critical to your understanding. It's only used once. And that's a blessing. Because the rest of the Bible, the rest of Genesis, all they do is screw up. It just shows man's screw-ups and God's faithfulness. And even once this process started in the seed of Abraham, and the word of the Lord appeared unto him once, then he was convinced that the faithfulness of the process would be sufficient. Now that is the best news that you can hear. It's really important that he then will open doors, but he'll also close them. So you don't have to worry about being stronger than God. When you get down really to the bottom line, a lot of you think you're going to be stronger than God, so you're going to get yourself into something he can't get you out of.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't know what I mean.
Sure
you do. Huh? You know what I mean? Ain't there other people like me?
He's deaf too.
Huh? So continue. But it's pretty important.
Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold to me, And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shalt not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land inherited. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass, that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces.
Okay. Again, this is the covenant. Every religion has a covenant. Every religion has a God that expects you to be the best you can be. It's typified, that expects you to be in your Sunday best, in your church behavior. That expects you to be nice, expects you to know all the rules of behavior, expects you to be able to sustain and be successful, expects you to continue the traditions of your fathers, and reward you for those things. We were a people that can't meet those standards. And this is a covenant for those people that can't meet those standards. Because what happens, God himself enters into the contract or the covenant with Abraham. Because he entered it with Abraham, by Paul, because Paul said that we are the heirs of Abraham. That specifically means that in spirit, we were in that covenant. God himself, after that Abraham had been touched by the blood, then Abram's part of it was over, so God put him to sleep. And God himself walked through the pieces of the covenant and said to you, if you screw up, if you can't meet the terms of the covenant, then I will die for you. That's what Christianity is about. Every other religion, every other cousin, companion of Christianity takes us back to this moment, but only the seed, only Christ himself provides the covenant. He entered the covenant, Abram fell asleep. The horror of great darkness lasted as long as his rebellion lasted. The moment his rebellion was over, then he saw the day of Jesus and was glad. And in that sleep, he saw Jesus and entered the rest. And this is where God himself preached the gospel unto Abraham. He didn't preach a philosophy. He didn't preach rules of behavior. All this was long before the law. You understand? Then the law was added because of transgressions. The law was added to reveal, the law was added to shut up your mouth, really to shut up your brain. You have to see that this experience here has to happen to you tonight. Go to John 8. Well, let's not go to John 8 yet. Let's go to Galatians 3.
Galatians 3?
Galatians 3. General Electric Power Company, after Corinthians. This is verse 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Understand that these people came to Christ and said, what must we do to do the works of God? And he gave them no thing to do except believe on him who he has sent. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He preached the gospel to Abraham. Right here. In this hour of great darkness, he saw Christ. In thee shall all nations be blessed, so then they which be of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. If there's anything you have left to do, it's the way the thing works. You're under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Because if you try to do one thing, you have to do them all. If you try to get one thing right, you have to do the whole law. If you try to please one person on the face of the earth, you have to do the whole law. That's pretty awesome. If you try to do one thing right, you have to do all things right. You hear that? If you try to do one thing good, you have to do all things good and all things right.
Then you're subject to your own definition. So if you do one thing bad, you're subject to your own
definition. You've already done all things bad.
What do you mean if?
What's this if shit?
So let me get this straight. If I were to do something wrong,
just suppose.
I can hardly imagine.
She's saying that for the benefit of other people.
She's saying that for the benefit of Delvin.
Yes. Delvin. That's it. That's the second.
She's
perfect. So if she does something wrong.
All right. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That means, by definition, if we have made one mistake, we are cursed. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. Unless you know your rightful position is under the curse, he can't redeem you. Unless you know you're a slave, you can't be made free. Unless you know that you're the chief of sinners, you can't be made the righteousness of God in him. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law. Well, then you can say, well, I'm not a Christian. Well, then I'll say, cursed are you if you don't do everything that's written in your law. Well, I don't have any law. Then cursed are you if you do not do everything right in your own sight. That'll get him every time. Doesn't matter what your definition is, you're hung. You're cursed. You're dead meat. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law. See, otherwise, what we have baby Pharisees. I don't know why. Lake Highlands produced the Pharisees of the Pharisees. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Until you understand that, then you'll continue to try to get it right.
Where are we?
Galatians 3:13.
And we've all hung on the tree.
Yeah, but no, but until you understand that you are under the curse, that you can do nothing right, you will never understand that he became the curse. He's being made the curse for us.
So he died on us. That's what it means when he said that he died in our place.
And it redeemed. We are redeemed. The word redeemed probably is a better word. It means exchanged. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disalloweth or added to it. Now he's talking about this contract or the covenant. If it's a man's covenant, once the contract is signed, especially at this time, nothing could be added to it, and nothing could be taken from it. You understand? Even if it was a man's covenant. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. Now this is important. He's got a contract Can't be added to, can't be changed, can't be subtracted from. The contract is in a sense with Abraham's seed, singular. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ the law, again, now he's called Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Do you understand what that meant?
Yeah.
That meant by the intervention of the law, it didn't have anything to do with the covenant.
Yeah, it's a separate subject.
It's a separate subject. The law had another purpose. But our minds tell us that we, because we did not meet some standard of behavior, our minds tell us that we have failed. Rather than seeing that that stupid system has failed, then we spend this time defending that failed system. This says, the promise of faith was made before the law. Therefore, the coming of the law, or the coming of your own definition of law, came after the promise. And then what serves the law? The law serves as a schoolmaster to keep you under until the seed should be revealed. This is really important. Because this all takes us back now to Abraham in the natural, in time, but it takes us to the place of Abraham, or the seed in us.
I don't understand the seed, Abraham and the seed, and then come on the Gentiles.
Because all the seed of Abraham, which was Christ, was shed on all the Gentiles. The seed, that's why we are the seed of, we became the seed of Abraham, but one seed. We are the Gentiles upon which the seed of Abraham was shed.
So the Gentiles are everything outside of the line of Abraham or the line of Christ.
Right, the line of Abraham. Gentiles were anything that did not meet the genetic standards.
Okay.
It didn't matter what you called yourself. You could not possibly be an inheritor of the promise. You couldn't call yourself a Jew because you wanted to.
Unless your line was in the
Bible. Unless you genetically came from this point. Didn't matter how much you thought it was right, wrong, or different.
So there's nobody left in the world who has a genetic right to Abraham's inheritance.
That's right. And not only that, it's even worse. There's not one person, begin by the law, and again, whether it be Muslim or whether it be Judas, or Jews, or whether it be Christians. If the promise comes, no one can claim the promise because all the records, if the promise comes by their definition, no one can claim the promise because all the records of genetic records that were necessary in all three religions are just, they're gone. So if some guy comes down the street, down the pike, claims to be Messiah,
there's nobody here for him to deal with.
There's
so,
no...
Could somebody be?
Huh?
I mean, could somebody be?
No.
Just because the records are gone?
No. They can't be, they cannot...
Even if the records were here, there wouldn't exist.
Yeah, even if the records here wouldn't exist. But the other reason is, the other reason for the stupidity of like the fundamentalist belief system is that they don't take it back to this point, source. There's no way they can prove the line that the Messiah had to come from the line of Judah through Bethlehem, etc., etc. They can't prove that this guy that's coming back, by their words, you know, Jesus Christ is coming again. So what? They can't prove that he's the Messiah.
Yeah,
and
no
he
witness.
Can't prove he's Messiah. There's no witness. So if he's not here now, we're dead meat.
Okay.
By the law, but we know he is. He is here now. It's Jesus is come in the flesh, not did and will. Now this is real important as a term of the law. You got it? What?
I didn't understand. This is real important as a term of the law. I don't know what you meant when you said as
okay.
a term of the law.
Under Jewish law, you have to prove genetic.
Okay, yeah, I just didn't agree.
Okay. For if the inheritance be, in verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Then, okay, the natural question, if the promise came, if this all these goodies and the promise came 400 years before the law, what serves the law? Why in the hell did the law come on the scene? Why does that happen in you? Why doesn't, well, I believe and now everything is goody-goody.
Why did they have to stop at Sinai?
And why did they have to come, why did they have to go, why didn't they go just directly from here right to the promise? Why did they have to stop at Sinai? Right down here. What serveth the law was added because of transgression till a seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now we're going to come. Now we're coming back to this horror of great darkness. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one. What he's saying here, this is real important. He's saying you can't have a contract between one.
Right.
It's really stupid. I mean, I can't tell you how often you have a contract with yourself.
Yeah, it's
mostly. And it's called.
Oh, sure you did.
Yeah, you can have all the contracts you want with yourself. This is the deal. But we're talking. This is really stupid.
Like, what's so stupid about that?
Listen, we're gonna get this pipe, but then you gotta promise me you're gonna go do 5 months.
Do what?
You're gonna eat this pie, but then you gotta promise me you're gonna go do 5 laps.
Oh, I don't understand.
That's a silly example.
Yeah, that's a stupid example.
Yeah, Jackie. I am going to start next week. I'm going to stop. I am going to do. Do you understand how often you try to make contracts with yourself?
I got my own legal department.
I really do.
I didn't realize. I was thinking about that.
Yeah,
Julie
cheated and how.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
yeah. It's cheating him how it's his own.
Yeah, I'm screwing me. You know?
I don't know.
Let's
you
let's cheat that beaver guy.
Here's some rope to hang yourself with.
That's just the meaning of opposing yourself.
No. Yeah, but you probably got the same attorneys that Garrett got.
Yeah. Yeah, but Rick's on workman's comp.
That's right. Gary is. Rick's on unemployment.
He's on spiritual
workman's comp. Yeah, I'm on unemployment.
He's
on Medicaid.
Oh, that's funny.
I have a quick question about what you just said something about when if Christ comes back, I would say that, you know, he was here once and he's going to come back, but if he came back, they wouldn't be able to substantiate that he was the Messiah. But what, I mean, couldn't they say that he was already here once and he's his line?
How would you prove it? I could come back and say that.
What do they do? Don't we
believe
he's going to
come back?
Like in the clouds or something?
Yeah, but if the point is, he's.
I mean, I thought I heard just talk about.
Of course, that he's like he's going to appear to our eyes. We're going to see. Boom. I mean, at the moment we see that phenomenon, then time will end around us. That's what the transfiguration is.
Hmm.
I mean, his credentials now are the destruction of the world. His credentials. The thing that, if anybody asks him for his credentials, it's the end of the world. I mean, you understand?
Yes. You want to open, you have to open 7 seals to get his resume open.
Right, you have to get the 7th seal open to get his resume. And when the 7th seal is open, time is no more. Now, that's why we are blessed, because we see, we know, we think, we act as if he is already here. We know it's finished, there's nothing left to do.
We're talking about the seals of the night. I was trying to explain the seal.
Oh, it's the Ark. You remember, did you see the Ark of the Covenant? I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Did you see that movie?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, anyway, they tried to find the Ark that was in the temple of God. And it was an Ark that contained the law, of the two tables of the law, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod. And on it was the mercy seat that was made of solid gold with the wings of the cherubim. And it was all a picture for us to see what the Spirit looks like. And in the Raiders of that Ark of the Covenant has been lost to antiquity since 700 BC and hasn't been around. Men have tried to find it for a million years, or since it was lost, because the legend is if you have possession of the Ark, you possess all power in the earth. So in the movie, when they finally opened the Ark, it wasn't right because it didn't show the seven seals that are sealing it from keeping it being open. When each of the seven seals are open, something terrible happens to the earth in the book of Revelation. And then when the seventh seal is opened, so the Ark is totally open, and that which is in the Ark that has been before covered by the mercy seat, by mercy, now all the judgment of God is poured out on the earth. The law, the manna, and the rod. And that destroys time. So that's the process. Now, the Ark is existing in the heavens. It's in the temple, in eternity. And it's opened in the same way it will be opened by our understanding of it. As we understand those seven seals, then we are opening the Ark. And that's what really the book of Revelation is about.
Really, in a sense, I mean, I've heard you say that if he was here anyway, I don't even think people would know it anyway. They killed him before.
Yeah.
They kill him right now every day.
That's right.
Yeah. So they just don't really think it all the way through.
They stop at their own idolatry.
But each of the steals is an aspect of Christ?
Yeah. Now, the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So what that's saying is, God walked the covenant, made the covenant, finished the covenant, even though he knew he was going to die. I mean, there were two parties to the covenant, but as a practical matter, the covenant was entered into while Abraham was asleep, which is your present condition most of the time. Right? Mm-hmm. You have no idea what's going on.
Right. I'm getting more and more of an idea of knowing that I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
So in that condition, we are asleep. We enter that rest. And God does. He walks the walk. Now, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came or comes or is revealed, it's the word parousa, we were kept under the law, shut up to the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore,
so the faith is there during that time.
Always.
It just hasn't been revealed.
Hasn't been revealed because it hadn't been revealed by testing. Hasn't been revealed by the schoolmaster. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. I mean, that there's neither, was Bill and I were talking, there's neither black or white. There's neither Frenchman and Englishman, there's no American, or there's no male, or there's no businessman or attorneys, there's no label. There's no, and the core of it, when it gets down to that total core, there's no male or female even.
Let me ask a question. So why
do
we make God bond? He?
We didn't make him a he. Wait, we were created in the image so that the mystery of the relationship and the desire of God for the bride could be revealed in a relationship between a man and a woman. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now this is where this next part is the part that blew me away when I first became a believer. It was to me the most important few verses in the scriptures. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now that's the position. I mean, both we as individuals and we as a body. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children in the natural, were in bondage under the elements or principles of the world. But when the fullness of the time is come, God sends forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, or legal children is what it says. And because we are then legal, God sends forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now the word Abba is the word in the Greek, which means daddy. God is no longer a figurehead or a thing or a philosophy. God is a person that you then intimately know as daddy. Now that's a mind-blowing place. And that can only come after being under the schoolmaster, under the tutors. Now, this is a revelation of an earlier kind of thinking. Do you understand that in early times, the royal families, the kids never even saw their parents? They were raised in a totally different area? I can see the wisdom of that.
What was the purpose of that?
Because the kids were a bother. And they were under these tutors and governors, until the father said, okay, now I'll reveal myself to you. That's what's written to her.
Wow. And you're worthy of the inheritance.
And you're worthy of the inheritance. Okay. It's the toga ceremony. It's when you get the ring.
Part of our mitzvahs.
Well, yeah. Now.
Is this correct then? This thing about the faith's already there, but it gets revealed. And it gets revealed at the time appointed of the Father?
No.
Who did that? Really did that?
They did that in the ancient Roman, and
the presence of the Son
is always there.
Is always there. That presence is always there. He is revealed at the time appointed of the Father.
Right.
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 So is this correct? Is this the sit back and relax?
Yeah.
And at the time appointed of the Father, it's.
And he'll say,
it's clear.
Right. And God will say, God remembered Harry.
It's crystal clear.
Yeah.
At the time appointed of him.
Right.
It's not, it can't be figured out.
Right.
It can't be pulled open and held up and looked at.
No. The only thing it can be is yelled out.
How much does it have to do with your being tested or in school? I mean, it's like, that's everything, isn't it, until that time? And so, the more you're pushed, better that is, because you're closer to the time of...
Read that. Remember that.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
It reminds me of the child and the adolescent. I'm trying to figure in Adam and the eating of the apple and stuff. But, I mean, so
it's a different picture.
It's a picture of the same. It's
just a different view of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't try to think progressively, linearly.
No.
It's just that's the Adam and Eve and the serpent and the apple in the picture was one thing. Now this is another view of it.
Yeah.
This is the scriptures are an infinite view of picture diagrams, of word pictures, to reveal Jesus Christ.
I was trying to understand the picture of Adam and Eve with this new understanding of the covenant.
Amen. Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
In Adam and Eve, then the covenant becomes revealed in
really their son.
The apple being the testing of the law.
Yeah. Well, not it's the fruit of the good, the tree of good and evil. The judgment of good and evil is the law.
Yeah.
And to know that you're forgiven.
And in them, even when they screwed up, the sin offering always was at the door. Who said something more?
Yeah. The thing I've realized lately is the reason it's so hard to work for you right now is because the thing I've always avoided my whole life is scrutiny. I can't stand scrutiny. I can't stand somebody looking at everything I do. It just completely unnerves me.
And that always really does.
Yeah. And not only that, but there's no degrees of getting ripped. I mean, it's like if you screw up a little bit, you get ripped as bad as if you screwed up a whole bunch. I mean, that's true. I mean, you know, and that's the thing that I've
so
never...
You might as well just screw up a whole lot.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I mean,
know,
is
but why?
The ripping relative to how hard you're holding on to it?
No, if you're not holding on to it, it doesn't feel like being ripped.
Okay, but... I'm just saying that that's...
What are you doing over there?
I'm enjoying having
Rick here.
He's
makes
naive.
Me feel better.
But that's the school. The school's the scrutiny. Right?
Well, a schoolmaster.
The schoolmaster is right. The scrutiny.
We're no longer tutors and governors. The schoolmaster. I mean, it's... You know, I mean, I'm a terrible... I mean, if I were me, I'd hate me. I mean, I'd hate to have me as a rabbi, as a girl sergeant, as
a
tutor, a governor, as the boss. Or as a
it's no,
well,
it's no.
You know what? I'm sitting over here grinning. I'll tell you what makes it worse. It's not just that, because at the same time, I'm losing my damn mind.
Well, it's no different than having your skin ripped off with anesthetic.
Take a big guy.